Did you hear about, have you ever played this? Wait, you've never heard of?
I can't believe you've never seen.
Did you know?
Mass Art Radio.
Did you know you missed this?
Hello, everybody. Hope you're all having a good one.
Woo!
I know. Welcome. You are listening to Mass Art Radio on WBCA 102.9 FM Boston, Boston Community's radio station. And did you know you missed this? I, currently speaking, am your first host, Richie, and I am joined by three lovely Mass Art radio contributors and our kind of producer, if everyone kind of wants to go around and say their name.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Eddie, and I am doing a segment on movies later.
Hi, I'm Kevin, and I'm doing a segment on an unknown band later.
Hi, I'm Elias, and I'm doing a segment on a really hard and annoying video game.
And let's get our producer on the mic. Here.
My name is Eric.
And that's all you need to know.
And once again, my name's Richie, and my segment will also be on music. And you might be wondering what segments we're talking about. That is topic of today's show. Like I said earlier, it's called Did You Know You Missed This? We're going to be talking about media that you probably haven't heard of. Maybe it's a little older, but we all think it's super influential and really good and think more people should know about it. Movies, music, video games, it's going to be great. It's going to be a great time. Hopefully you can walk away with something fun in your life. Anyone have anything else they want to start off with?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm all good if you want to jump into what you're going to talk about.
I'm very
Fantastic.
Comfortable.
Fantastic. Everyone strap in. I have a lot to say. So today I'm going to be talking about the band Empires. So this is a Chicago-based band, started in early 2008, and they played like their last shows in 2015 and kind of officially disbanded in 2017. So they haven't been around for a while, but I still love them. They originated with the members of Tom Conrad, Sean Van Vliet, Max Steger, Ryan Luciani, and Al Smith. But after a couple of lineup changes, they ended with Tom, Sean, Max, and Mike Robinson. Like I said, they formed early 2008 because Tom and Sean were like longtime friends, and Tom had just gotten kicked out of this other band called The Academy Is, a little bit more well-known, I'd say, and one of my favorite bands. But Tom ended up having to leave and started Empires, which I think was just a great career move, in my opinion. So a little fun fact about the band name is that Tom and Sean actually came up with it at the same time on opposite sides of the city, like came back that night to share their idea, and it happened to be the same name. So they went with that one. They're known for kind of their like DIY ethic. They had four main albums, and up until their very last album, they were completely self-released. And again, up until that last album, Max Steger like served as the producer and engineer. So it was all like within the band. It was really cool. Like I said, four albums. They started with the album Howl in 2008, which is my favorite of theirs. Then they released an EP in 2010 called Bang. An album in 2012 called Garage Hymns, and then their last album in 2014 called Orphan. And they like stayed a like kind of lesser known band their whole career because they all like wanted to not like get super huge and like signed to a major label. They just wanted to stay pretty small. So they were mainly just known around like the Chicago area because that was like their scene. But they had two kind of major moments of publicity. One was in 2011, Rolling Stone magazine had a competition called Do You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star, which was a cover contest where they had 16 unsigned musical acts that then like went through rounds of voting for the public, and the people who like the band that won ended up like getting to be on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Unfortunately, Empires didn't win, but they made it to the top four, which was super impressive. And then there are other kind of moment of publicities that they performed on David Letterman in 2014, which is super cool.
Those are big names to, you know, get onto.
Yeah. And they also, during their like run as a band, ended up playing a bunch of festivals like Bonnaroo, Lollapalooza, and South by Southwest, which is really impressive for like an unsigned band to do. And like their music is kind of like indie rock, I'd say. I think they have a pretty unique sound. Not really anything that I could compare to like a different artist that I listen to. They have very, very strong vocals. In the song that I'll be playing later, the like vocals that Sean has in that are just like mind blowing to me. And so, yeah, amazing band that like I don't think people know about outside of like people who kind of were around Chicago at the time, or like people who are fans of the Academy is.
Do you want to touch on the song that you're going to be playing? Like, what is it called? What's it about?
Oh yeah, it's called Midnight Land. It's off their album Howl, which was their first album. It's kind of just like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like just stunning, amazing vocals. About, I guess, like emotional scorning is a good way to phrase it. Though there's another song on that album that's a lot more about that. But yeah, it's overall like an amazing album. A bit of like a harder sound, though I wouldn't necessarily call the band hard in any capacity compared to like the rest of their stuff. Like as they moved through their career, they definitely got like a more like indie with it compared to like the more like rock sound of the beginning stuff. So yeah, has anyone here like heard of Empires before this
at
all?
No.
The name is like vaguely familiar.
Yeah, there are tons of people that I know who like are into kind of that scene, but still have like never heard of them. Which is, it's so sad because they're like so amazing at what they do, and like especially with sort of like the DIY ethic of it all and this idea of just like keeping all of not moving towards a major label, not hiring like an external producer, and just like having the band be the ones to like see the product through to the end is really amazing to me, and it's definitely like an ethic that I think a lot of people that I come across, like even at Mass Art, would definitely like agree with, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think as someone that like is really, because like the game I'm going to talk about today is going to be independently developed. Whenever I hear something is, it abstained from signing up for a big label or any sort of publisher, I always really admire that because I know it's hard, but it's kind of, in my opinion, like the ideal way for an artist to go, because it keeps your vision clean. Because usually when you sign up for something like that, they'll say, well, we can't do all this stuff and we can't have like this kind of subject. But when you're out in the open like that and you're kind of like conceptually ungovernable in a way by avoiding that, it makes the stuff a lot nicer and it makes it more artsy fartsy because the artist like got to do fully what they wanted to do.
Yeah, I think it's just so cool to be able to produce stuff yourself. There's such a different sound as well. It's not always as clean as it would be like if you had like a label helping you, or like if you're in this big studio with all this high tech equipment. Richie, if you don't mind, I would love to hear the song that you chose soon, if you don't mind playing it out for everyone.
Oh yeah, I have it coming up in a minute. I was just kind of hoping for, I don't know, see where the conversation goes, but I can totally play it now.
I mean, I'd love to like listen to it. We can talk a little bit about like how we like, I mean, what we heard from it, you know, what we think.
I have a minor question before we do.
Oh, yeah.
Who did win the Do You Want to Become a Rock Star competition? Because I want to know who we should be angry at for winning instead.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I came across their name while like writing my little cheat sheet for this, but I completely forget it. It was something like strands or something like that.
But we'll find them. We'll find them.
I can see if I can find the name again while I play the song.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if we want to go into it, here is Midnight Land by Empires off their 2008 album, Howl. Understand my zombie boyfriend. He keeps biting at me, but he won't eat my flesh.
Has this ever happened to you? It can be hard for the living to understand the undead, but with this simple guide, you can get one step closer to warming his cold heart.
If he sounds like this, that means he thinks you're gorgeous. His love language is words of affirmation.
If he keeps taking you on slow walks through the graveyard, he's looking for quality time.
If his severed hand keeps crawling up your leg, he's all for physical touch.
If your enemy's brains keep ending up on his plate, then he's into acts of service.
And if he rips his heart out of his chest for you, his love language is gift-giving.
All this and more in Women Are From the Morgue, Men Are From the Graveyard, a guide to zombie love. Find it from your local grave robber.
Could be kind of gory, far from boring. We'd meet at a post apocalypse. Yeah,
You're listening to WBCA LP 102.9 FM Boston. This is Mass Art Radio. Did you know you missed this?
Very good job there.
Wow. I panicked a little. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was like fact checking you. I was staring at the sign. I was like,
me too. This is our first show.
It is our first show.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Very first radio broadcast. During that little musical break, I did decide to look up who won the Rolling Stone cover contest I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It was the band The Sheepdogs.
I've heard of them, actually.
I've not.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know anything about them. The emo scene back then just like went in one ear and out the other for me.
I don't think they were emo. I have no clue, though. I'd never heard of them before this. But yeah.
That was really good, by the way, the song you just played.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, the drums. I was locked in on those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's amazing stuff, honestly. I highly recommend listening to them. But yeah, that's my recommendation. Again, the band Empires. Eddie, do you want to go into any introduction of yours, or do you just want to go into what you played?
Yeah, Eddie, what did I miss?
All right, so I have a 10-minute-ish Vox Pop where I asked a couple of my friends about three different movies that all had the theme of undead love stories. We talked about Swiss Army Man, Warm Bodies, and Lisa Frankenstein, which came out recently. I can play it right now, and then we can have a short little conversation if you want.
Sure. Yeah, let's hit it.
Hey, I'm Eddie. This is my segment of Did You Know You Missed This? I'm going to talk about movies. Today's theme is undead love stories. We're going to talk about Swiss Army Man, Warm Bodies, and a newcomer, Lisa Frankenstein. I'm here with special guest Sophia.
Hi, I'm Eddie's roommate, Sophia.
And yeah. So with Did You Know You Missed This, we generally like to talk about obscure or underrated media, and I picked these movies because even though some of them are movies that a lot of people have heard of, I think that they're underrated, and I also especially wanted to talk about Lisa Frankenstein because that movie came out recently, but it did not have a very good box office run, even though I thought it was excellent. So I asked a couple of my friends to answer some questions about these movies because they really like them, and yeah. So Sophia, how did you discover Swiss Army Man?
I found out about it because I got really into Paul Dano movies back when like there were mumblings about like the Batman coming out. And it was one of those movies where people were like, this is crazy, like you have to watch it because Paul Dano is in it, but also Daniel Radcliffe is in it, and it's about this guy who brings, like, a dead body back to life, and it's just, the way that it was phrased to me, or the way that I kind of got it when I was, like, hearing about it, was it's like this buddy comedy about a guy and a dead body, and I was like, beyond just this being a movie with an actor that I like in it, it sounds absolutely crazy, and I have to check this out, so... Luckily, it was on, I think, Netflix at the time. I think it still might be on Netflix, but it was on Netflix at the time, so me and a friend sat down to watch it, and it blew our minds.
So I have a pretty different story for how I discovered it. So I was in 9th grade, and I was talking to someone that I met on Twitter, and they really liked the movie, and this was when Rabbit, the website Rabbit, was still a thing. We went on that website to screen share the movie because they were going to show it to me, and I was home alone and on my dad's work computer, and this was the first R-rated movie that I ever watched without a parent. So this movie is like a formative memory for me. Adding here for clarity that I asked two of my other friends the same questions, but about two different movies. So up next, you'll hear my friend AJ talking about Warm Bodies, and after that, my friend Barry will be talking about Lisa Frankenstein.
Okay, I discovered this movie when I was a kid. I was at my cousin's house, and they have like a TV room, so they would like play random movies or like random shows. And I don't remember what. No, so this movie was actually, it was like recorded on, they like recorded it because my cousin was like, oh my gosh, you guys have to watch this movie. Like, I'm obsessed with it. And I was like, oh, okay. So we watched it and I literally like, I like had like the craziest crush. Like, I could not believe like how in love I was with this guy. Like, the main character are like, he was so cute to me as a kid. Like, he was definitely one of my like biggest childhood crushes.
So I discovered this movie mostly through the internet. I heard about it a lot from a lot of people who were excited about it. I also heard about it from some promotions. I read this magazine, Rue Morgue, which is like a horror magazine, and they did a little interview with Zelda Williams, who directed it, which was great. Yeah, I've been hearing about it on and off since it got announced because it has such a great name. And then the first time I watched it was with Eddie. Hi. And we got to see it in theaters, which is great because as soon as we saw it and we left, they started dropping theaters everywhere, and it's practically out of theaters now. So we got to see a little cult film, which is very exciting. And it was extremely fun. We saw it with a small audience who was also very into it. And everybody had a blast, and we all went crazy.
So, what about this movie made you fall in love with it?
Honestly, how unexpectedly deep and introspective it ended up being. For people who don't really know how the movie functions, it kind of lures you in with this comedy setup where this man gets stranded in the woods, and he finds, or he gets stranded on an island, and he finds a dead body on the island. And the gimmick at the beginning is, and forgive the crudeness, because the body washed up on the shore, it was bloated, and the joke is that it's just, there's a lot of involved, and it's all very juvenile and very, not really deep at all. And then it kind of lures you in, and as the movie progresses and as this body becomes more and more sentient, it becomes this film about the meaning of life and what it means to be human and what it means to love. And I ended up, honest to God, in like violent sobbing tears by the end of it. Both me and my friend were just rendered completely like useless. So the fact that it was unexpectedly really like deep and beautiful, I was like, wow.
What about this movie made me fall in love with it? Definitely the fact that I was not open to the idea that you could actually like find like a monster cue. So I think that definitely was like why I fell in love with it. Just the concept of that. And also like, I don't know, I really enjoy like that type of genre of movie, like romance, but in like a like, oh, like it can't happen, like Romeo and Juliet type of romance.
The things that made me fall in love with this movie, I mean, like, it's kind of hard to describe. It was just a movie that felt like it was kind of made for me. Like, it had these very strong aesthetics, but it didn't feel like it was aesthetics attempting to appeal to, like, a broader audience. It felt like very personal aesthetics, picking from parts of 80s culture that maybe weren't picked from in a lot of others, like, 80s nostalgia stuff, a lot of, like, the gothier, weirder stuff, lots of, like, references to, like, Interview with a Vampire, or, like, stuff like that, which I thought was a really fun twist. The acting was incredible. Oh my god, it was so fun. Everybody was so completely committed to the whole concept, which worked super well. It was funny. Like, I just thought it was, like, extremely funny and well-made, which was great. It made me laugh. And Jughead was in it. And my friend, Cole Sprouse Jughead from Riverdale. and I was very excited for that. And he did a great physical performance as a character who cannot speak, which is very fun.
If I was a zombie and I could only be brought to life with the power of love, I feel like what would warm my cold dead heart would probably be like a cute animal or like a really cute video. I don't know. I feel like that one's kind of hard. I don't know. Probably my cat. He would probably warm my dead cold heart. His name is Plop.
If I was a zombie and could only be brought back to life with the power of love, I think my cold, sad, dead heart, my cold, broken, rotting, worm-filled heart would be warmed back to life. If somebody literally just hung out and chatted with me. At my fun little gravestone. I like hanging out with people, and I like hearing what they have to say. So if they came and they were just like, man, I know you're dead, but like, I just saw this movie, and I just want to chat about it with someone, I'd be like, that's so sick. Let's chat. That would make me so happy. So yeah, that wraps it up. I think I only swore once, so I hope this is good. Yeah.
And we are back. Hi. Once again, you are listening to Mass Art Radio on WBCA LP 102.9 FM Boston, Boston's community radio station. And did you know any of those movies beforehand?
Yeah, did you guys know you missed this?
Oh, I missed two of them, but I did not miss Swiss Army Man. I love that movie.
Awesome.
Wow, so good. Amazing movie, incredible.
Does anyone else have anything to say about either of those, well, any of those movies?
I absolutely did know that I missed most Paul Dano movies. I have heard his name said like a million times because I'm in a lot of internet circles, but I've never gotten around to like watching the movies he's in. I still have There Will Be Blood and... of course, Swiss Army Man, like, on my list mm-hmm. as movies that I really, really want to watch, especially because of the I drink your milkshake gag that I've seen in, like, five TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it. I have a Letterboxd, God forbid, but I do have a Letterboxd account, and my watch list, like, there's, like, about 400 movies on there that I have unwatched that I need to watch, so there are a lot of movies just in the trenches right now waiting for me to pick them up.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I remember seeing commercials for Warm Bodies
yep.
and, like, loving the concept, but my parents, like, wouldn't let me watch it. Or, like, I don't know if it would be that they wouldn't let me watch it, but I just, like, didn't have access to it.
Mm.
And so...
have you seen it now?
No, I, like, completely forgot about it until you brought it up. And so now, like, I know what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah. No, I was totally surprised when I watched it because I kind of assumed that it was going to be pretty stupid because it came out in that era of, like, Twilight and, like, those sort of movies. But I put it on because my roommate's friend was over and it was one of her favorite movies. We watched it and I was honestly surprised at like the creature design for a zombie romance movie and like the world building.
When did this movie come out again?
I don't know the exact date off the top of my head. It was the 2010s. Yeah.
So were they using like CGI or?
There was I think a mixture because there were some that were like sort of like on the ceiling, like crawl, like, it's going to get you. But there were some like close up. Sort of like more like subtle like characters that were also like I think they used a blend of practical and CGI. Although I wasn't like, oh my god, CGI, I hate it when I watched it. Yeah. I thought it looked super cool.
Yeah, usually I don't like CGI, you know, but I'm a big on practical effects. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a big practical effects lover.
Well, I'm sorry if I'm wrong.
No, it's okay. But I mean, sometimes CGI is really good.
Yeah. No, I was honestly surprised at how much I enjoyed that movie because I was not expecting a lot from it. I think the low bar may have made it seem a lot better too, but mm-hmm. I do think that a lot of people are missing out on this movie. And also, Lisa Frankenstein, even though with this show, a lot of us are talking about media that came out a lot, like kind of a long time ago or like that is like sort of older. This one came out like in February, but since
February. That's quite new.
Yes, but since it's it didn't do well in the box office at all, even though it was so good, I just like I want to get the word out because I honestly think that this movie is going to be the next like cult film that's like that has midnight movies and has like people dressing up to see it and like do like callbacks like the like Rocky Horror, like that sort of mm-hmm. thing. Like, I, mm-hmm. I do think that this is going to be the next big movie in the goth community, I guess.
Yeah. Would you mind giving a little synopsis on Lisa Frankenstein?
So, it's this movie, it takes place in the 80s, and it's about this weird girl that accidentally brings back this this guy from the Victorian era who was like, he was buried in this graveyard that she used to, like, visit a lot. She used to, like, hang out with him, like, when he was, like, in the ground. And then, like, lightning struck and he came back to life. And they have to, like, hang out. And she has to, like, slowly, like, sew him back together. And it's, like, it's very, very cool. It had the vibes of, like, all of, like, the Tim Burton movies back when they were still good. Like, it was, like, it was Beetlejuice. It was Edward Scissorhands.
I was going to say Beetlejuice. This is reminding me of Beetlejuice already.
No, it was so good. No, I was in the theater, and I left. My jaw was, like, off, like, my skull because I was just, like, this movie is so good. And no one like has seen it except mm-hmm. for like very few people because it honestly they picked the worst slot for a movie to come out with. Like the other movies that were out at the time were Madam Web and the Bob Marley biopic.
Oh yeah,
like no one was going to the movies then, like until like Dune 2 came out were people gonna go back to the movies again. So like yeah, I don't know.
I will say I've heard, because like in Boston, am I allowed to bring up locations?
Yeah,
there's this place called Coolidge Corner that they sometimes have movies at, and they
I was thinking that it would probably play there.
They have the deal with the playing The Room at midnight, and I've heard people, as someone who's watched it, I agree. I've heard people say that Madam Web is on the same level as The Room.
Seriously,
yeah, where people are gonna start doing it as like a cult thing, where they start having like little celebrations over this movie. And I watched it, and me and my friends watched like this.
We watched Madam Web or The Room.
The Madam Web. I actually haven't watched The Room yet, but we watched Madam Web. And I will say that the best way to watch that movie is like, it's like if you can watch it pirated, where it's like someone filming in the audience, because that made
oh
the
my
experience.
God.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
It makes it a million times better.
Oh, yes.
No, honestly, I'm expecting it to be super funny, but I wouldn't expect it to be a cult film of that caliber because of how much like it's a Sony like superhero thing. And usually mm-hmm. those are like, you know, corporate slop, not really anything like creative. But like, no, I honestly am looking forward to watching that with friends, though, and just like tearing it to pieces.
Yeah, all of these sound like really well. All the ones that I haven't seen, mm-hmm. the two that I haven't seen all sound like very good movies that are definitely going in my 300 film watch list.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
you sure have me convinced. Now, just for time's sake, let's switch gears. Elias, do you have anything you want to say before I kind of do your intro here? Or?
If I did have anything I wanted to say, I forgot it. But, oh, wait, no, I know. To any budding audio producers, you're about to find out what an iPhone in a recording booth sounds like when it's recording. Because I just put my iPhone on the table and started talking. So that's all.
All right. And once again, this is Mass Art Radio on WBCA 102.9 FM Boston.
Back in March of 2017, independent video game studio Video Cult released the game Rain World to not at all critical acclaim. It was a very weird game. You played as this thing called a slug cat in this really alien world that was very post-apocalyptic and full of predators. You basically had to roam this open world and find the end of it and discover the weird secrets of this weird planet while trying to avoid actual predators. And a lot of people didn't like this. A lot of video game review websites gave it a very low rating, a failing grade on almost every account, because they just really did not like what the game was trying to convey. Because to a lot of people who played the usual video game, it just kind of felt like a hassle. Because the way the game worked is that it felt very natural in the sense that you had to act like an animal genuinely, which was a huge challenge to a lot of people, including myself. It was very infuriating to just walk into a room, be eaten by a giant lizard, and then have to start over again, and usually just end up having that happen to you 90% of the time. It was very weird, it's very obtuse, it's very almost rude, but at the same time, with the lesson that the game tries to tell you about being alive and having to work with nature, this fact made me like it more. Really, despite the fact that this to a lot of people might look like an obtuse and really stupid game design idea, I very much enjoyed it. Mostly in hindsight. I hated it while I was playing it. It made me very, very, very angry. But after the fact, I enjoyed it so much that I went back to play hard mode of the game. And that was worse. That really, really makes you feel like an animal. I tried playing that game, played for 2 weeks straight. It got to the point where I'd see stuff from the game whenever I closed my eyelids. That's not something any video game has ever done to me. Anyways, the reason I want to bring this up for something like Did You Know You Missed This is the fact that I think this game should at the very least be experienced passively by a lot of people, because it may not be for everybody to play it, but I think you should at least watch someone play it on the internet. Here today we have my three teammates for this school project, and I'm gonna make them listen to me about a really weird game that they probably wouldn't like anyways. Let's get to the show.
Are we back up? Yeah, we are.
Yes, we are.
And all right. So, was that backing track from the game?
Yeah, that was the song
was
Sundown.
What was it
called? It's called Sundown.
Wow. Serene. Very beautiful.
Such a beautiful track in what sounds like such a frustrating game.
That is exactly it. Before I get into any questions I'll bring up, I was originally going to play that. I'm sure if anybody's played any indie game in the past 10 years, you know what a leitmotif is. Mm-hmm. It was like that theme is replayed over and over again throughout the game. The way I saw it was like the song of life, because it's like a game about being at nearly the bottom of the food chain and trying to put up with it. And there's like this point where you're in, spoiler alert, a giant computer, and these like techie sounds are loudly blasting the theme into your ears through the soundtrack. And it was this really emotional moment where I was like, oh my God, even these giant computers are singing the song of life at you.
Wow.
And it was crazy. This game, it was terribly infuriating, especially when I played it as in hard mode. Like I said, I saw it when I closed my eyes, which is like...
Yeah, you got Tetris effect.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, people keep calling it the Tetris effect. I didn't know that until I played this game. They were like, yeah, that's the thing Tetris players get when they only see Tetris in their dreams.
As an ex-competitive Tetris player, lots of Tetris effect.
Yeah, no... This is like, that was the animal part of my brain being like, all right, you know the formulas to survive in this crazy world. And the whole deal with it was every time I would feel like I was tearing my hair out, raging at this game, I would just find something else in it right after that would be like, oh, it's such a beautiful lesson about work. There's no working against nature. There's only working with nature. And mm-hmm. I have to learn that by playing a video game in my parents' house. So I think because we're a little short on time, I'm going to ask one question. Have any of you ever found a piece of media that kind of did something, like, in quote, wrong for an artistic reason? Like, it went vehemently against a standard to prove a point?
Oh, yeah. I think, well, going off of video games, I think Cuphead went about it so wrong in the good way, because they did all of the animation on paper, and using 1950s animation techniques to keep it in that style of 1950s animation. They didn't do it all digitally. They didn't like reuse assets to make like to save time or make the game like easier to play. No, they literally like hand drew everything.
They also had like the soundtrack of that recorded like a 1900s ensemble.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Which completely probably the wrong thing to do in today's standards for saving time and saving money, but for what they were trying to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it worked.
Yeah. I definitely could talk for a while about things that could be wrong, but again, we are a little short on time. I don't know if we want, if Kevin, you're ready to kind of transition into telling us about Lost Media
Well,
band?
Isn't there a little PSA that we need to play
on? Oh, there is.
On our Mass Art Radio WBCA-LP 102.9 FM Boston, Boston's community radio station. You are listening to Did You Know You Missed This? And I do want to hear that little PSA that Elias came up with.
All right.
Have you heard the news? Have you looked in the news lately? Our planet is melting. Our planet is melting, dude. Our planet is freaking melting. There's like plastic in the sky, in the ocean. There's cars everywhere, and these cars are like farting out. The cars are farting out like CO2 everywhere and carbon emissions, and they're messing with the trees. All this stuff is messing with the god darn trees, the gosh darn trees, and they're like, and there's no more fish.
Nope.
All the fish died, instantly. It was like, they all disappeared. No more fish. SpongeBob died, dude. Be sure to recycle your soda cans and I was really hoping I would burp more during this recording. I drank soda for the whole, like, the sole purpose of burping while talking, you know? It's, like, not happening.
You wouldn't download a tree.
Seriously, though, it is true that at some point the plastic in the ocean could just acidify the ocean to the point where most fish just die, like right off the bat.
Mass Art Radio. And we're back once again, 102.9 WBCA, Mass Art Radio. Did you know you missed this? Kevin, do you want to do a bit of a speed run for us real quick?
Watch this, man. I am going to talk fast and think faster. So today, something that you might have missed, did you know you missed this? Pachinko, misspelling of pachinko, like the little Japanese gambling game, is a emo indie rock shoegaze band from Nottingham, England. They started around 1997 to 1998, when the members were like 16, 17 in college, playing in local pubs, you know, not doing anything too big. They mainly sang about, you know, drug abuse, yearning, all of these different types of things, while also including a little bit of otaku culture in it, which was very like unknown during this time. One of the members in one of the songs, Laputa, sings about Laputa, like from the Ghibli movie. He mentions in an interview that, I saw it as a kid, like on TV, and I never saw it again. And I thought, man, I must have dreamt that movie. But no, it was real. And him and his friends were like the only people who knew about it. They self-produced like 30 CDs, gave it to friends, gave it to record labels and reviewers and stuff, just to see if anything would happen. Nothing really happened. And this EP that they made called Death Metal, which are the CDs that they handed out, came out like 2000. basically unknown until about 2016 when someone on, God forbid, 4chan, on the music board of 4chan, uploads an image of the CD. Is like, hey, guys, I found this really bad disc-rotted, like, shoegaze band. I ripped it. It sounds horrible because of the disc rot. Is this band real? Like, does anybody know them? And for 4 years, people went on a search effort to find, like, a better recording. Couldn't find it. To find these members of the band. Couldn't find them until 2020, when somebody finds one of the members on Facebook, sends a Facebook message, is like, hey, are you, like, the vocalist from this band? And he's like, yeah. When I was, like, 16, how did you find me? So this guy goes on an effort to get all the members from the band back together, who were, one of them couldn't make it. I think he was, like, in the army or something, but got the other ones back together from all around the world, and got back together making music, found a better CD to try and, like, make remastered copies of the music from 2000. And yeah, now they're back. So, and there's better recordings of this EP they made when they were, like, 17 and just messing around. There's influences of, like, Radiohead in this, Ultrasound. They all really love super furry animals. You can hear, like, a Joy Division-esque sound. So, yeah, I'm going to lead it into their song from their first EP. It is Panchico, death metal, from the EP of the same name, released in around June to July 2000. I'll give it to you, Richie.
Real quick. We're going to end the show with the song. So just our final goodbyes.
Oh.
This was Did You Know You Missed This? From Mass Art Radio on WBCA 102.9 FM Boston, Boston's community radio station, and Mass Art Radio's very first radio broadcast is now complete.
Don't.
Did you hear about, have you ever played this? Wait, you've never heard of?
I can't believe you've never seen.
Did you know?
Did you know?
Did you know?
Did you know?
Mass Art Radio.
Did you know you missed this?